Tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Welcome back to The Wire. And yes, Auckland Councillor Shane Henderson is back for our fortnightly catch-up. This week we discussed how siren battles have been disrupting residents in Te Atatū and Massey, and what is being done to resolve this within the community. And as case numbers reach a record high, I also asked Shane about what the Auckland Council was doing to support those in Tāmaki Makaurau who have had their income affected by these COVID-19 restrictions. Here is that interview. Well, the first thing I wanted to talk to you about was siren battles. And unlike down at Parliament, it seems like annoying songs are actually interesting people, making them want to participate. So can you talk to us a little bit about what are siren battles and who is doing this?
Yeah, so basically it's a group of people that will gather in like a park or a public street or something, and they'll just blast music as loud as they can, and there's kind of a competition element to it, and they sort of start up at something like 2 a.m. So, you know, a surprise, you're sort of fast asleep, and then 2 o'clock in the morning you'll hear Celine Dion cranking out the Titanic theme song. So, you know, I suggested that maybe if we're sorting out the Parliament issue, maybe we can send some of them down there to help out. I think we'd clear the issue pretty easily.
And this is something that has happened Auckland-wide, but it's specifically coming up in Te Atatū and Massey. What is sort of the legality around this, especially late at night? Has anyone sort of been reprimanded in any way?
Yeah, so the long and short of it is it is a policing issue. So you aren't allowed to emit excessive noise from a motor vehicle. That's simply a police enforcement issue. And actually the police have been patrolling. They've added extra patrols, working with the community in Te Atatū. But why it's kind of popped up for us is that there is a park that sort of backs on to a body of water that you would think there's no one there, but actually the noise travels all the way over and you get to thousands of homes. And it's something that's been an issue for years. And we've responded by doing things like closing the park at night. That's had some impact, but we need to do a lot more. So that's where we're at the moment. I think that people have every right to peace and quiet in their homes, and there's a lot of anger actually in places like Te Atatū and Massey around this.
Yeah, what is the impact? What impact has this had on local residents? What have people been telling you?
Oh, we've had someone saying that they're looking at putting their house on the market and moving. You know, that's the point. That's sort of the point it's getting to. And, you know, I've got 2 young kids myself. I know the struggle when it comes to getting them to bed and have them wake up at 2 a.m. That's the rest of the day pretty much ruined for all of us. And you can imagine that happening sort of every single weekend or, you know, multiple nights a week. It's not like a party where you can kind of plan around it. This is something that's unexpected and, you know, really horrible for people. So it's had a huge impact. I think that we should be taking a mature and pragmatic approach to it and maybe looking at how we can move them on to places that aren't residential areas where it can be monitored and it can be made safe and that no one's around to hear it.
Have you been able to speak with any siren battlers, I suppose, and have they responded to sort of this recent call for it to stop in these areas that are impacting these homes?
Yeah, you know, I've had actually quite a few productive conversations. I sort of reached out to say, look, I'd like to just understand a little more. And I've had some people come and talk to me, and I really appreciate that actually because, you know, we do need to have a dialogue with everybody and kind of bring everybody along. The people that have talked to me have said, look, they understand that they don't want to harm people and they're as interested as anyone in finding a safe place that can be done where it doesn't harm people. And that's kind of where we're at the moment. So I'm working with council staff, with the police and with other councillors to see what can be done. I don't want to sort of overpromise at the moment, but I think that we need to get the noise stopped in Massey and Te Atatū and other parts of the city as well. That's number one. And how we get there, we should keep an open mind about it.
Right. The other thing I wanted to mention today is Auckland has recently moved to phase two. And despite us having high vaccination numbers, there is also high case numbers. Is there anything that the Auckland Council is doing that you could tell us about to support people, particularly those who have had their incomes most affected by the restrictions?
Yeah, it's a real struggle being in the red setting, particularly if you're in sort of the creative space or in the hospitality space. That's when things really bite. I mean, you can't have a profitable gig with under 100 people in it, so it's very tough for people. Council are doing a few things, so I'll just touch briefly on it. I could probably talk about it all day. But the Auckland City of Music, which is a collaborative partnership between music sector leaders and Auckland Council, that's going really well. And actually, we've been given an award for that, which is pretty cool. But it's part of it is an appeal to raise over $850,000. And it's actually assisted nearly 600 musicians and music workers with direct support for 18 grassroots music venues. So it's a big deal. And we're launching a new strategy on this in late 2022, which can kind of build on that. So we've got to help our live performers, and that's one of the things that we're doing there, and working even internationally within that kind of space, which is pretty cool. Another thing that we've announced is Auckland Council, in partnership with Boosted NZ, have launched a new crowdfunding to support the creative sector, and 25 Tamaki creatives will be given a match grant of $2,000 for projects, which will kind of match donations from the crowd dollar for dollar. So that's a very cool little initiative there at the moment. And most importantly as well, like, we got to talk about the hospitality sector, because, you know, restaurants are really struggling at the moment, and we hear that, and we are really interested in how we can support more. I know the mayor is all over this kind of stuff. One of the things that the council has been doing is we fast-tracked applications for food-only outdoor dining. So it's a temporary waiver of outdoor dining fees, and working with the city centre businesses to kind of enhance that outdoor dining capacity. And, you know, with more and more spaces opening up that are actually outside to eat, we're probably going to find that that's actually a pretty cool way to run in a community. And I can kind of see us just keeping on going with that. Even after COVID's a distant memory, we can make things a more vibrant and exciting place in places like the City Centre. So, yeah, like I said, I could talk about it all day, but that's a very long answer of some of the things that we're doing.
Right, no, great. That's good to hear. And yeah, we did talk a bit about the outdoor dining with Pippa last week, especially with the current heat we're facing. It's something people might want to do anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I just wanted to quickly touch on was your request for an update on the North Western Busway. So I've heard you haven't received a response. Could you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, so the North Western Interim Busway is basically an attempt to bring bus services that are actually adequate to about 100,000 Aucklanders and Massey, Te Aritu, and even linking into places like Kermie and Hobsonville. So it's a really important project, and it is happening, but reading the media reports here saying that it's 9 months behind. And I've written a letter to Auckland Transport, because that's kind of the relationship that I hold with them, to say, look, can you just give me a briefing? Can you find some people to sort this out for me? Can we talk about this? Can I update the community on what's happening? Because I'm getting messages every day about this. And we're at 19 days now, and I haven't received a response, which has got me pretty annoyed. You know, ultimately, didn't our parents tell us that it'd be rude not to respond to a letter that's written to you? I really think it's not acceptable. So after all of that, I've been given a sit-down briefing opportunity for next Friday, and I'll be trying to communicate as much as I can back to the community there. So the delay is really unacceptable for us, but we're just going to work on it.
Yeah, okay. Well, it would be good to hear when hopefully you have an update on that soon. Just to finish up, I wanted to bring it back to the beginning of this interview. You said that maybe we should bring the siren battlers down to Parliament grounds. Have you yeah. gotten any inspiration from them, maybe, about I know the Speaker of the House, Trevor Mallard, has tried some unconventional methods, like playing the Macarena, or James Blunt suggested his song You're Beautiful. Is there yeah. any songs that you'd suggest they try?
I think there is nothing like Celine Dion's Titanic theme song, or, you know, a bunch of her songs at 2 o'clock in the morning, because the high notes, they really hit, man, and really loud. So I think that'd work well.
Yeah, I think they might have played like a meme version of that one with like horns or something in the background of it. So they might have already tried that, but even tried to make it even more annoying, and it still hasn't worked. So,
well, there goes that idea.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.